24 minutes moving down past the 8 o'clock hour. We do sincerely apologize for the delay in starting tonight. You know, sometimes things happen. But we're moving on from that. And we're just going to get ready for our In the Spotlight radio show tonight. Hey, good night to you. Wherever you are tonight, we thank you, as always, for choosing us and for choosing the program. A program that I, you know, ever so often remind you that I do in honor of my late father, Ferdinand Frampton. And the program that I do to motivate, inspire, and to just listen to the stories of our fellow Dominicans near and far. It is another beautiful Monday night here in Dominica. And tonight, we have a young lady in studios, pretty young. She goes by the name simply Roya Tavernier, but we'll find out that she's a lot more than just her name. She's actually Professor Roya Tavernier or Dr. Roya Tavernier. She'll make the distinction once we begin. Acknowledging our sponsors tonight, First Domestic Insurance, the National Cooperative Credit Union, Flow. We say thank you to Innovate Multimedia, the folks at Garraway Hotel, the official hotel of the In the Spotlight radio show. Anyone and everyone who supports this program in one way or the other, thank you, Q95, for providing the time for us to share the stories of the amazing people of our beautiful island, Dominica. So wherever you are, stay put, stick with us as we go across and say goodnight. By the way, I should say to our Facebook livers that we're going to go live now as well, for those of you who want to view and maybe see Dr. Roya Tavernier. Then you know you have the option to do that as well. Those of you who prefer to just listen to your good old traditional radio, then that's all good as well. So let's go across and say good night.
Well, good evening.
How are you?
I'm doing pretty well, thank you.
All right, it is really nice to have you here with us on the program tonight. You're a young person, and what I want tonight to come from the program with you is for others to listen, to learn to some extent, and to in some way or the other be motivated by the story that you have to tell, be motivated by the story of your mom, be motivated by the story of your peers at the time, and how what you all went through to survive, if you would like to put it that way. And I just want, you know, everyone to just listen and to learn who you are, because when I put on the promo that you were going to be on the program, I was many persons ask me, who is she? I say, well, listen, and you will find out who she is. I've always said to you that everybody has a story, and that's what the In the Spotlight radio show is all about. It's to tell the stories of those we know, those we already know about, those we don't know about, and those we don't know about, those we already know about, and those we are going to learn about. So that is what the program is about, and tonight we're going to learn about Dr. Roya Tavernier. I didn't know her myself either, so it's going to be a lesson for me as well. And we're just going to have a good program, right?
I look forward to it.
All right. So, Doctor, do I call you Doctor or Professor?
Both goes.
Both goes. You see, she laughs like me. So you know what you're like, stuff for tonight. Two cheerful young ladies. That's what you're like, stuff for tonight. I can tell already, yes? So it could be Doctor, it could be Professor.
Yes, so I'll make the distinction between the two different types of doctoral degrees. One is a medical doctor, which is what we commonly refer to as everyday doctors that we see at the hospitals. And so if you go to medical school, at the end of your studies, you get a medical degree. We also have a different type of doctoral degree, which actually stands for Doctor of Philosophy. Mm-hmm. Not necessarily the study of philosophy. So the origin of philosophy, which has a Greek origin, actually means the love of wisdom. So
you are wise.
I am trying to be. You could say that I've dedicated my life and career in the search of wisdom and knowledge. So when you attend university and you pursue a doctorate degree, a doctor of philosophy degree, then you also earn the title of doctor.
So in your case?
In my case, I have a doctor of philosophy in psychology.
Psychology?
Yes.
Oh gosh, please don't work some of that on me tonight. But let me just allow you to say goodnight to everybody who is listening and who is viewing as well via Facebook Live.
Yeah, so a pleasant good evening to everyone, to all the listeners of this program. I've heard a lot of great things about this program, so it's really an honor for me to be here this evening and to have this platform, as you said, just to tell my story, and hopefully we'll be able to inspire or young boys and girls who have their own stories are currently being written. And so I just hope that after tonight, I will play a small part in telling my story and helping other young boys and girls to be inspired and to, you know, continue on their own journeys as well.
And you're actually visiting.
I am on vacation.
Well, work and vacation.
Work and play. Yes, so I made the trip back home to deliver the feature address at the Pierre Child Secondary School's graduation on Friday. And so I'm on island for another few days.
All right, and we'll talk about that as well during the course of the program. And something special as well that you did at the graduation ceremony. But let us learn a bit more about you. You like to smile like me, it seems. So, I mean, that in itself is a good thing. So you come from what we call, what is often called the cultural capital of Dominica.
Indeed.
South City, Grand Bay.
Yes, so I was born and raised Backstreet, Lawide, Grand Bay. Born on March 18, 1985.
For those of us who don't know, Backstreet,
Lawide, yeah.
What part of Grand Bay is that?
That's like Lally proper.
Okay.
Yeah, Lally proper. And so born and raised until I was 19. And left for my studies at the University of St. Martin in St. Martin. In terms of my family, I grew up with my mother, my great-grand aunt. We called her Ma Willie.
Okay.
She was a very loving person. I was very friendly with everyone in the neighborhood. Everyone loved and respected her. And so I grew up with my great-grand aunt, Ma Willie, my mom. I have three biological siblings. So my older brother, Royson, my younger sister, Kendra, my younger brother, Alpha. I also have a brother by father, Chris. But I grew up with Royson, Kendra, and Alpha together. So we grew up Backstreet. I have a lot of fond memories growing up. We had a mango tree in the yard. So one of my favorite things was to, you know, climb the mango tree. Sometimes I would even bite the green mango and leave it on the tree if it was not ripe enough to my liking.
Who does that?
I know, kids, troublesome kids. So I have very fond memories of my neighborhood, growing up playing rondas on the street, you know, walking to and from school with my friends. And so I really had, I think, a very rich and very engaging childhood growing up in Grand Bay.
You mentioned dad briefly.
Mm-hmm.
Was he brief?
We've had an interesting relationship.
Okay.
So I don't have very consistent relationship with my father, but I do know him. I know who he is.
But is it something you would have liked to be different though?
For sure. I think as a young girl, it's important to have, you know, a healthy working relationship with your father. I think that's really important to have a male role model. But unfortunately, over the years, we just have not come to that point. And so that's something that I'm very open to remedying. So just putting it out there. The importance of fathers and the importance of strong, caring male role models for both boys and girls. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, although there was not that your real father, was there a father figure in your life though that would have probably played that role for you at some point?
So I also grew up with my stepfather. So my mom had her two first kids with my father, and then my two younger siblings with a different guy.
Yes,
and so I grew up with my stepfather. Growing up, we had an okay relationship. Over the years, things got a little bit tumultuous, so we currently don't have a speaking relationship. And so that's definitely something that I think personally that I have been lacking. However, currently, and we'll get to some of the people that I think have played a very instrumental role in my life. So currently I do have a very strong father figure in my life, but we'll get to that.
Absolutely. And your mom, is she still with us?
No. So unfortunately, my mom passed 9 years ago. And it was an unexpected death. So that's something that, you know, I'm always thinking about. I don't think you ever really get over the loss of your mother, or the loss of anyone who's really, really close to you. But with time, you certainly learn to adjust. And I have very fond memories of my mother and I, and she's always been so encouraging and so supportive of me. So whatever I do, whatever big life decisions that I have to make, even though she's not physically there with me, I always seek out her spirit. And sometimes I can definitely feel her guiding me, you know, in some of my decisions. So I'm very grateful for that.
And we're going to spend a bit of time talking about her before we talk a bit more about you, because you're doing something special in her memory. And one of the reasons why you're here is for that purpose as well.
Yes.
Share that with us, and share with us why it is that you're doing this for your mom.
Yes. So when I received the offer or the invitation to do the feature address at the Pierre Child Secondary School, because of the so many fond memories that I had, you know, as a high school kid at the Pierre Child Secondary School, I really wanted to do something to encourage and to give back to the community, to encourage young people to have something that they can look forward to. And so I thought about the name of an award, I thought about the purpose of an award, and I just kept feeling my mother's spirit. And so I knew that I had to do something that would embody some of the values that she stood for. And so I kept thinking about how shy of a person that she personally was, but how she always encouraged me to participate in extracurricular activities. I would bring home, you know, permission slips, and she would have no problem, you know, signing it away, giving me permission to participate in a lot of different community, school-based, church-based activities. And so I wanted to create an award that would recognize the importance of being involved in the community, being involved in school. And so that's one part of the award. So the name of the award is the Joycelyn John Rose. That's my mother's name. So it's the Joycelyn John Rose School Spirit and Friendship Award. So the school spirit aspect was because of her unwavering support of me and my interest in wanting to participate in community and extracurricular activities. The second part of the award, in terms of the friendship component, really was designed to highlight the importance of my friends growing up, especially during the high school years. So like many other young boys and girls growing up today, I would say that I had a clique. And my clique was called the Survivors. Yay, Survivors.
Why Survivors?
We called ourselves Survivors. Honestly, I don't know if there was a long discussion about what name we were going to give our group. I remember at the time that Destiny's Child came out with the Survivors song. And that was around the time that we were graduating high school. So it just seemed very fitting to, you know, to name ourselves Survivors, because we felt like we had survived high school. We had done really well. We had worked really hard. And so the name Survivors seemed very fitting.
Who were those other survivors?
Survivors. My girls. So there's Geisha Gregoire. There's Katian Henderson. There's Celia Gregoire. There's Bernie Abraham Keane. She's now married. And we were also close with Christine Maxime and Shardina Defoe.
Where are these people now?
So Katian is in New York. Geisha and Sila are here in Dominica. Shardina is in St. Martin. Christine is here. I'm based in Connecticut now. But the beautiful thing about our friendship is that it has really stood the test of time. And we were so fortunate a couple years ago to have a 30s trip. So we all got together. We went to Jamaica. Yes, we went to Jamaica. We spent 4 days at a resort and we just had the best time. We felt that we needed to physically be in each other's presence and just to have an opportunity to relax and reflect on all of the memories that we had created over our primary school and high school years. So big up to the Survivors. And so going back to the purpose of the award and the friendship component of it, I really wanted to highlight the importance of strong and close positive friendships, because I know these days a lot of our youth get a bad reputation for being very cliquey, following the wrong crowd. But the importance of friends is something that can really be transformative if it's something that is positive. And I definitely had that positive group of friends that I 100% know impacted me. And they were always so supportive. We were always very supportive of each other. And it's something that I think is very rare.
So in essence, you're saying there's nothing wrong in having a clique.
A clique.
If you want to put it that way.
Yeah. I think, you know, we're all social beings. And I think we all crave and long for, you know, connections. Connections with other people. And so, given that high school is a period of time where you're going through so many changes, you're, you know, transitioning from a childhood to an adolescent to an adult, you're thinking about future career choices, you're probably in your first little crush boy-girl relationship. you know, you have increasing academic demands, homework is getting more difficult. And during that time, during adolescence, we see that there is almost like a move away from parents towards friends. And so that's something that is very natural in terms of how we develop into our own being. We're also developing a sense of identity. We're figuring out whether we're a tomboy, whether we're a nerd, whether we're a geek, whether we're, you know, we have a creative spirit. And so I think friends can actually play a really important role in helping us figure out who we are as people. And so I don't see anything personally wrong with having a core group of friends. I think it becomes problematic when we think about the direction of the influence, right? Like who is influencing who, and also the content of what you and your friends do. So if you have a group of friends and you guys are experimenting with drugs versus a group of friends where you seek help for your homework and you can have and feel like you have a space where you can, you know, talk about your relationships and your crushes and your music interests, I think that could be really positive.
And it is my understanding that all of you all got an award for school spirit.
We did.
At your graduation.
We did.
did. That says a lot.
Yes. So our English teacher, Joanne Xavier Coffey.
Joanne.
Yeah. Joanne was the one who I think initiated the award. And I think she did so because she really... she really saw the positive impact that we had on each other. And we were always involved in everything, the school. We were always very involved in anything the school had going on. So we definitely positively impacted each other's lives, for sure.
And back to your mom. So your mom embraced these friendships.
Yes.
She embraced your friends. She allowed you to spend time with your friends.
Yes.
And vice versa at your home and that kind of thing.
Yes. And I know it's tough for parents. I'm not a parent myself, so I don't pretend to speak for parents and all, you know, the challenges that go along with it. But I know parents struggle with trying to figure out, you know, how your kids spend their time and with whom. And that's important. You obviously, no parent wants to see their child, you know, go astray, so to speak, and have, you know, and follow bad company. But I think my mom built a trust. There was a trust between us. My mom respected me as a young girl who was able to make good decisions. I had always been very disciplined at school. And like I said, I had always been very involved in a lot of community activities, which I can speak to that as well, because I think that is also really important for young people to be exposed to different opportunities where they can develop their skills and talents. And so she always allowed my friends to come over. I know some parents, you know, might have restrictions on, you know, what type of friends can come over. But my friends always felt really comfortable coming over to my house. You know, we would convene in my room and plan our outfits for Christmas and Boxing Day and New Year's. And, you know, and she also allowed me to spend time with my friends.
She would cook for you all too? Or you'd have to do your own cooking?
You know, I have always been a foodie and I don't really like to share my food. So I won't make up stories about she, you know, cooking a pot of food for everyone. But you definitely allowed us this space to be ourselves.
All right.
Yeah.
And so you decided that that award had to be in your mom's name because of all of these reasons.
Yes.
And more.
Yes.
Yeah.
So because of the fact that, A, she really, although she herself was, she had a very shy personality, I think she saw my interest in being, you know, engaged and putting myself out there, and she never stood in the way of that. I participated in the Miss Carnival Princess show when I was 8 years old and won.
Did you always look forward to asking you win?
And won. And I just always you know, had a knack for drama.
Yeah, somebody actually just sent a message saying that you're also an actor.
Oh, well, I wanted to be an actress. That didn't really work out, but I'm pleased with my career choice. But yes, I'd always been involved with the drama club, and so whenever I needed permission to participate in anything, she would never stand in my way, and I give her a lot of respect for that. And so I definitely wanted to honor her in that way, in terms of highlighting the importance of having school spirit, and also because of her, you know, allowing me to have friends and be able to spend time with my friends, and just to trust that if I told her I was going to see that friend, that I actually was.
Right. Yes.
And I think over time, when she, you know, observed my ways, that just continued increasing her level of trust.
You were a good girl, generally.
I like to think that. Not perfect, definitely not perfect.
None of us, my dear. None of us. So.
But I think good.
Yeah. So who is eligible to win that award?
Yeah, so the award is open to any student who has met the criteria for graduating. So it has to be students from the graduating class. And because I wanted to highlight the aspect of friendship, it's not an individual award.
Okay.
So the award can be awarded to a group of friends ranging from 2 to 6. Well, we said that it was 2 to 6, but actually this year there were two groups of friends, two nomination forms where there were quite a bit of overlap in the names, and so we decided to just award it to the 7 students who were part of that group. I should also mention that one of my close friends, Bernie Abraham Keane, went in with me financially and sponsored the awards.
So everybody gets an award.
Everybody gets an award.
Nice.
Yes, because we felt that it was really important for the students to have something that they could take with them. I still have my award, my school spirit award, you know, when I look at it, and I felt like it was important. It was important to do that. So groups of friends can range from 2 to 6, but you know, that's flexible. You can't really put a number, you know, on your friendship. So that's a little bit, there's a little bit of flexibility there. And there's a nomination form, and on the nomination form, we ask questions about the duration of your friendship, just to get a sense of how consistent you have been with the same group of friends. Because for me, my friends and I, we go like literally primary school, mm-hmm. with some even preschool, mm-hmm. and we have maintained our friendships over the years. So we ask about the duration of their friendships. We ask them to tell us about a specific incident that they experienced as a friend group and how that experience brought them together. And we also ask them to comment on their involvement to get at the school spirit aspect. And so it's about 3 or 4 questions. They indicate their names, and then I consult with Bernie, because we went in.
What is the nomination criteria, though?
So in order to be eligible for the award, you just have to be a member of the graduating class.
Okay, that's would really someone have criteria. To nominate you?
So either you can nominate yourself.
Okay.
A teacher can nominate you, or one of your peers could nominate you. But ultimately, the nomination forms are completed by the group of friends.
Okay.
Yes. Yeah, so I think this time around, the graduation committee at the PCSS had the nomination form sent out to all of the graduating students. And so they could take it upon themselves to nominate themselves, or the teachers would approach a group of friends and encourage them to fill out the nomination forms as well.
All right. And so 7 of them.
Seven students were awarded this year.
How does it feel, though, to be able to give back to young people in such a huge way? Because 7 awards, I know, cannot be $7.
Right.
but just, you know, going that extra mile to recognize the work that these young people are doing to maintain those unique friendships, mm-hmm. and you know, to participate in their communities within the school system, mm-hmm. You know, helping to do things at their school. How does that feel?
Honestly, it feels like I wish I could do so much, and it doesn't feel like much to me. It just feels like this is the start of what I hope will be the continuation of a series of different initiatives that I would like to take to give back to my community. Because I feel like I don't have a choice. For the amount of support that I have received, you know, over the years in all different aspects of my life, I feel like I don't have a choice but to give back.
And you should certainly be commended for not forgetting your community.
I would not be myself without my community. So it's so much of a part of me that, like I said, it feels like something very small that I'm hoping will continue and evolve over time.
Your mom is smiling?
Yes.
Down on you?
Yes.
You think so?
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
We're going to take a break, and when we come back, we're going to get to know you a little better and your journey
Sounds good.
To this point. Keep it locked. We're coming right back, right after this.
My phone is my everything. It's where I make plans.
You at seven.
It makes me laugh.
When Africans go to the bank, I would like to say hi to my money and leave.
Lets me share my happiest moments and hear a comforting voice when I need it most.
It'll be all right.
It's like a best friend. That's why I get everything out of my phone with a Flow prepaid combo plan.
Save up to 95% on data, talk, and text in one simple plan. The bigger you go, the bigger you save on the fastest and most reliable 4G network. Dial *129# now to activate our 7-day large combo plan and get 1,000 megs of data, 1,000 minutes, and 1,000 texts for just $29.99 with Flow.
Rudolph Thomas Enterprise in Portsmouth, your suppliers of building materials and hardware products. Over 20 years experience in the business. Rudolph Thomas has lumber and plywood, Portland and tile cement, steel rods, galvanized and fence pipe. And Rudolph Thomas can meet all your wire needs. Galvanized roofing sheets, doors, windows, toilet sets, face basins and bidets. PVC piping, fittings and lattice. Check out Rudolph Thomas for ceramic and vinyl floor and wall tiles, nails, nuts and bolts, paint and painting supplies. And check out their line of electrical and hand tools. And Rudolph Thomas is your one-stop shop for hard-to-find items like fiberglass mat and fiberglass resin and welding rods. Go now to Rudolph Thomas on 1240 Bay Street in Portsmouth.
Want to win $1,000 cash by July 1st? Top up $25 or more from now at any Flow location until June 30th and you could win $1,000 cash. Yes, $1,000 cash. Yes, you could win $1,000 cash by simply topping up your Flow phone anywhere Flow top up is sold. Top up now and you could win $1,000 cash. Flow terms and conditions apply.
Raise a cheer for the company that believes in you, securing your future. First Domestic Insurance Company, a 100% Dominican-owned company, as local as the street where you live. 100% secure, with A-listed reinsurers, the best in the world, settling claims first, fast, fair. Property insurance, personal content, fire and allied perils, loss of profit, public liability, employer's liability, group and individual personal accident, travel, burglary, cash in transit, machinery or risk, fidelity guarantee, motor vehicles and marine cargo. Located on King George V Street in Roseau. Call 449-8202. In Portsmouth, 445-3494. The agency's resource management, 440-2159. Carib Interconnect, 445-8232. First Domestic Insurance Company. Come get a premium quote today.
Rudolph Thomas Enterprise in Portsmouth, your suppliers of building materials and hardware products. Over 20 years experience in the business. Rudolph Thomas has lumber and plywood, Portland and tile cement, steel rods, galvanized and fence pipe. And Rudolph Thomas can meet all your wire needs. Galvanized roofing sheets, doors, windows, toilet sets, face basins and bidets. PVC piping, fittings and lattice. Check out Rudolph Thomas for ceramic and vinyl floor and wall tiles, nails, nuts and bolts, paint and painting supplies. And check out their line of electrical and hand tools. And Rudolph Thomas is your one-stop shop for hard-to-find items like fiberglass mat and fiberglass resin and welding rods. Go now to Rudolph Thomas on 1240 Bay Street in Portsmouth.
My phone is my everything. It's where I make plans.
You at seven.
It makes me laugh.
When Africans go to the bank, I would like to say hi to my money and leave.
Lets me share my happiest moments and hear a comforting voice when I need it most.
It'll be all right.
It's like a best friend. That's why I get everything out of my phone with a Flow prepaid combo plan.
Save up to 95% on data, talk, and text in one simple plan. The bigger you go, the bigger you save on the fastest and most reliable 4G network. Dial *129# now to activate our 7-day large combo plan and get 1,000 megs of data, 1,000 minutes, and 1,000 texts for just $29.99 with Flow.
Rudolph Thomas Enterprise in Portsmouth, your suppliers of building materials and hardware products. Over 20 years experience in the business. Rudolph Thomas has lumber and plywood, Portland and tile cement, steel rods, galvanized and fence pipe. And Rudolph Thomas can meet all your wire needs. galvanized roofing sheets, doors, windows, toilet sets, face basins, and bidets. PVC piping, fittings, and lattice. Check out Rudolph Thomas for ceramic and vinyl floor and wall tiles, nails, nuts and bolts, paint and painting supplies. And check out their line of electrical and hand tools. And Rudolph Thomas is your one-stop shop for hard-to-find items like fiberglass mat and fiberglass resin and welding rods. Go now to Rudolph Thomas on 1240 Bay Street in Portsmouth.
And we are back at just about 1 minute to the 9 o'clock hour. And for those of you who are just tuning in, we are live in studios in the Spotlight Radio Show tonight with Dr. or Professor Royet Tavernier from the community of Grand Bay, who is currently on island. She delivered the feature address at the Pierre Charles Secondary School recently. She'll tell us more about that as well. But we were just talking about a special award that was presented in the name of her mom at that graduation as well. For those of you who are tuned in via radio, thank you for joining us. Those of you on Facebook Live, and the numbers are going up. Keep on watching. She is actually quite a beautiful young lady, so I suspect some of you are watching just for that. Yes, and she likes to laugh like me. Nous bien joué, eh? J'appiche-le et ben j'aguave. Yes, we're back. And before we started talking about the award that you presented in the name of your mom, did it begin today, by the way? Was it this year? Is it the first?
Yes, so this was the inaugural. Okay. This was the inaugural award at the PCSS graduation last Friday.
Okay. So we will talk about the graduation and your featured speech at that graduation. But let us talk some more about you. So you attended the primary school?
Yeah, Grand Bay Primary School.
Grand Bay Primary School. Mm-hmm. And I guess that's where the friendship started to build. Yeah. Instead of even from preschool.
Yeah, yeah.
And what subjects did you pursue in well, we're going to go to secondary school, because primary school,
sure,
you mentioned about the little days and climbing,
yeah,
the trees,
yeah,
and all of that.
Wasn't really thinking too hard about subjects at that
no
point,
man,
yeah,
no,
it was
man,
just about my recess, my ice pop, and
that's
my base, yeah.
And then you moved on to the PHL secondary school scholarship.
Yes.
Of course.
Yes.
Okay, so do you remember sitting the common entrance exam?
I do.
What was that like? Because the results actually came out today.
Today, yes. So. And I must say, one of my cousins got a scholarship.
Oh, congratulations.
Tavernier.
Congratulations to all of the students.
It's a lot of stress, I think, for the students at that point, because, parents and teachers, mm-hmm, really put a lot of emphasis on it. And there's also a lot of division that can happen, people looking out for who's going to come out on top. But all of our students need to be supported, regardless of
you
where
they
are.
You're the psychologist, in you?
regardless of where they are in terms of their grades, they all need love and support and encouragement. So big congratulations to all the students who sat their exams. I actually remember when the results came out. So I remember being home, and my neighbor, Monica Roach, and John Roach. Monica Roach was worked at the ministry at the time, and I believe she called home, or she called me and told me that that I had gotten a scholarship. And I remember just losing it.
You remember what number?
I don't remember what number. No, I don't. Maybe we'll have to dig up the history books. But
so you were excited.
I was very excited. And I think there's a sense of accomplishment you feel when you worked really hard. And honestly, I feel like that's where I became addicted to loved wanting to do well at school. I remember my family being so proud and so excited, so happy. And I think that's something that every child wants to make their parents proud. And I think that that was really a turning point for me in terms of my studies.
Mm-hmm. So you went on to the PHL Secondary School. Somebody might think, scholarship, why didn't you go to Convent High School? Why didn't you, you know, because back then, you know, sometimes you would want to think that the secondary schools, you know, our immediate area that we live probably wasn't the best, mm-hmm. and that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. But you opted for your PHL Secondary School.
I did. I remember briefly my mother having you know, conversation or thoughts about sending me to school in town. But at that time, I believe, I'm not sure how it works now, but at that time, I believe there were restrictions based on zoning. And so I didn't have any relatives in Roseau.
Introducing that.
Right. Yeah. So I don't think it was going to be possible for me. Okay. But I mean, all of my friends, we're going to go to high school together. So I was actually really excited. And actually in first form, I took part in the Miss Jeep competition. Of course, teacher Adi had a role to play in that. And so from first form, I was really, you know, really excited to participate.
You started guns blazing.
I started really early. Really young. Yeah.
So you spoke already to some extent about, you know, your friends and high school, but, you know, mm-hmm. what was really important to you during your high school years?
I think for me, it was doing well at school. I never felt like school was a burden. I felt like it was a challenge. And I think having that perception, not just in terms of academics, but in terms of whatever path you decide to take, there are going to be stresses. But if you think of something as a burden, I feel like it almost encourages you to shy away from actually doing what needs to be done to overcome challenges that will inevitably happen. And so looking at a problem as a challenge, I think just mentally, just cognitively, I think prepares you for battle, right? Prepares you for battle. And so that was my approach to school. You know, certain subjects were difficult, but I always felt that if I studied hard, that I was going to be able to excel. And I actually loved school. I actually loved writing. I loved math. I was the type of student that if we had math homework, if we had questions, you know, 1 to 10 were assigned for our homework, but the actual textbook had 1 to 25, I would be the one to do 1 to 25. So I always saw school as a challenge, and I always enjoyed doing my homework. I took a lot of I remember ripping pages off. If I had made one mistake, I would just rip the entire page off and start over. So I took a lot of pride in my work from a very early stage. I should also say that one of my biggest role models in high school is who I now refer to as my sister, Colin Xavier Lawrence. I wanted to do everything like her. She was very sound academically. She was very smart at school, and so I wanted to do that too. Funny story, which I don't know if it's too much information, but at one point I remember her telling me that she had gone through high school and never kissed a boy. And I remember having my first crush and telling him, you know, I like you, but I'm sorry that I can't kiss you because my sister never kissed a boy throughout high school. So I'm sorry, I can't kiss you until after high school. I literally wanted to do everything like her.
Oh,
Colin participated in the debate club at high school. I did that too. And I think it's important for young people to have role models, because it gives you a sense of direction, it gives you a sense of purpose, and it gives you something to work towards. Maybe it wasn't very healthy to be as addicted as I was to doing everything that she did, but she was such, and still is today, such a positive, real influence in my life. And so I think her love of school also rubbed off on me. And her mom...
She told you don't call her
name.
Oh,
no!
Of course, she's just kidding.
The story's out, story's out. And I also must give credit to her mom, because her mom took me in. I lived with them for a few years, and she was also one who played a very instrumental role in helping me to appreciate my education. I remember her on Fridays getting the Chronicle and bringing it home for Kyle and I to read, and she would tell me to go through the Chronicle, and if you see a word that you don't know, underline the word, look up the meaning in the dictionary, and try to use it in the sentence. So I think all of that, I think all of those little, you know, tricks and, you know, just different ways of supporting or supporting me and painting a positive picture of, you know, what it means to be engaged in your learning, I think really definitely impacted me. So I must give credit there.
And so you went through those years, and we were talking about subjects earlier on. So which one amongst were the favorites?
I really loved English. And I'm grateful because writing is a big part of my job right now. I publish academic papers, so I've always loved writing stories. I remember keeping a diary. And also, I used to stutter. I used to stammer really badly, yes. So my mother actually stuttered as well.
What?
And so for me, writing was an escape because I felt like I wasn't really comfortable speaking, especially speaking in class. And so I would always write from a very young age. I would keep diaries. So I always enjoyed English, also enjoyed math. Social studies as well. I think those would be my top three.
Your top three.
Yeah.
And so you sat your exams. I'm sure you did well.
Yes, I think I got 4 ones, 2 twos, and a 3 in chemistry.
Those dreaded science subjects.
Yes. So yeah, I did. My group of friends, actually, we all did
along the same lines.
Yeah, we all did really well.
Okay. And after that, did you go to sixth form college or?
I did.
You did.
I went to sixth form college for 2 years, mm-hmm. On a government scholarship, and there I did a general. I guess it was A levels at the time. I did English, sociology, and economics.
Mm-hmm. That's along the lines of what I did.
Yeah. Yeah, so I did that for 2 years. And then I went to State College from 2001, 2003. And because I had been part of the debate team, my debate partner, Katian Henderson, which is one of my clique members, mm-hmm. so to speak, she and I actually brought the national title to PHL Secondary School.
Nice.
And so at that final debate competition, I was awarded the best debater. And so because of that, I got an invitation to participate in the first ever Caribbean public speaking competition. It was held in Antigua in 2002. So I was in college at the time. And at that competition, and I should say that my participation in that competition was possible only because Mrs. Joanne Xavier Coffey, Joanne and her husband, Bullseye Pharmacy sponsored my trip to Antigua, because I remember there being some issue with sponsorship.
Okay.
And so they just took it upon themselves to sponsor me to attend that competition, where I won. And
you won.
I won that competition, and the prize for that competition was a full tuition scholarship to the University of St. Martin. So that's the story there. So I always knew that I wanted to go as far as I could in school. I had always loved school. I had always just wanted to do well academically. so, but I didn't know how. You know, I had heard about people going overseas to study, but I didn't know the first thing that I needed to do. And so, I felt like that opportunity was such a blessing mm-hmm. in disguise, because how else would I have been able to attend university?
I hope Val and Joanna are listening.
I hope so too. Yeah. And they know how much they mean to me.
Wow.
Yes. So after that competition, because I was still in college, I completed.
Mm-hmm. You had to defer it too.
Yes. Okay. I deferred it for a year. But funny story. So when I won the full tuition scholarship, I didn't actually know what tuition was. Like, I didn't know what the word tuition was. So I remember telling everyone, I have a scholarship to go overseas. And in my mind, everything was paid for.
No way.
Until...
the tuition.
Until, you know, closer to the time to when, you know, it came for me to go away, I got in contact with...
I'm sorry.
That's okay. And it's okay to all the young people out there who have a goal but don't really know how to maneuver yourself to get there. I think having that goal is the first step. And so for all of you who are thinking about going overseas to study, just know that tuition is just one chunk of your expenses. It's not everything. It's basically your school fees. So everything else, your living expenses, you know, your room and board, that's a whole other set of fees. Now, at that public speaking competition in Antigua, I was awarded the scholarship from the dean of the university at that time, Dr. Charles Armitage. And so he was the point of contact for me over the next year when I was inquiring about tuition. Yes. And other fees.
Everything else you knew nothing about.
Exactly. So he had been my point of contact, and over time I began to realize that, oh, like, I need to come up with, you know, money to be able to leave. And so I decided to teach for a year. So I taught at the PCSS between 2003 and 2004. Didn't get to save up as much money as I expected. But I think it was a good experience for me. That's where I think I further developed my drive to want to encourage young people, just being in the classroom and, you know, interacting with my students and seeing their potential, you know, listening to their dreams. And so I'm very grateful for that experience. So I left Dominica. I remember my best friend Geisha having to sign a small loan for me, basically to cover my ticket.
Wow.
My plane ticket. So thank you, bestie.
Did you pay it back?
I did. Oh, I did. Good. Yes, I did. Good girl. And I remember leaving with 2,000 US in my pocket and wasn't really sure, to be honest, how I was going to survive 2 years. But I was fortunate to have on-campus employment for a little bit. But the biggest source of support there turned out to be the dean of the university, who had met me at that competition, and he and his wife were living in St. Martin at the time, and so they basically took me under their wing. You know, they inquired about my plans after University of St. Martin. Where I put in my all, and I did really well, and so they started to inquire what my plans for after my 2-year associate's degree program was done at the University of St. Martin. And so they helped me to apply to schools in the States and in Canada. And because of their assistance, I landed a tuition scholarship to Trent University. So that's where I pursued my Bachelor's of Science degree at Trent University. And I should say... Trent University is in Ontario, Canada.
Okay.
So I know a lot of people... Because I hadn't really heard about, you know, opportunities to study in Canada growing up. I know a lot of young people look to the States or to Cuba and these places. And so I really want to big up the Canadian government, because they do have programs to assist Caribbean students. So anybody out there who's thinking about going to study overseas, definitely look into universities in Canada as well.
And so,
it's interesting to listen to your story, because I suspect there's a lot who can relate. There's many who can relate, and there's many who are probably not brave enough to live with 2,000 US in their pockets and to take the chance and to go out there,
yeah,
and to see, you know, what lies, mm-hmm, out there because of fear, mm-hmm, of not having somewhere to stay, not having, yeah, food to eat, seeing misery, if you, yeah, want to put it that way. But, mm-hmm, you were brave enough
mm-hmm,
to take that first step.
Mm-hmm.
Your friend helped you with a loan,
yeah,
to pay your ticket.
Mm-hmm.
You went with the $2,000 and you survived.
I did.
And then other opportunities opened up.
Exactly.
And
exactly.
You moved on then, yeah, to university, and I would presume you just started getting better from there, I would want to hope.
Yes.
So you got a scholarship to Trent.
Yes.
And that was for how many years?
It was actually for 4 years,
mm-hmm,
but because of my credits from the University
degree
of St. Martin, mm-hmm, I actually did 3 years.
Okay.
Yes. Yeah, so I did 3 years at Trent University, got my bachelor's of science and psychology. At the time when I left home, I was determined to become a counselor.
Mm-hmm. So I was about to ask, why psychology?
Yes. So there's an interesting story there too. I remember my sister, Callen, the one who didn't kiss the boy in high school, that one, she had gotten a government scholarship to Brunei, mm-hmm, across the world. But again, you know, having that willingness to take that leap. And so I remember on one of her visits back home while she was studying overseas, she was telling me about the whole university experience and telling me about all the different courses that are available. And so I remember asking her, well, how do you know what you want to do? And she told me, think about what you enjoy doing, and I can guarantee you that there's a field of study that you can pursue. So she said, so what do you like doing, right? I said, I like to talk, and I like to help people. And she said, oh, you should study psychology. For Dinah, I never questioned it.
Mm-mm.
I just started to tell people, I'm gonna study psychology. I didn't really even know what that entailed. I just trusted that she knew what she was talking about. And that's the story there. So, but at the time I thought that I wanted to be a counselor.
Okay.
Because of my interest in, you know, in helping young people. But I discovered something about myself that I tend to take on a lot of other people's emotions. Yes. Which I don't think would make for a very successful and healthy therapist. So during my last year at Trent University, I did a research thesis, and it basically entailed me, you know, coming up with a scientific question, thinking about, you know, hypotheses that would, you know, support that question, running a research study, which I had never been exposed to before, coming up with results, writing out a discussion, and submitting a paper. I fell in love with the process because I enjoy asking questions, I enjoy learning, and so I thought it was the perfect fit for me. So I decided then to pursue my master's in psychology, and then my PhD.
How did you survive though, coming from the tuition scholarship,
yeah,
to St. Martin,
yeah,
and then moving on to Trent, and then your,
yeah,
master's and your PhD? How did it progress,
yeah,
from there?
So funny story. So remember the dean of the University of,
mm-hmm,
St. Martin, who had been at that public speaking competition, he was the dean of the university at the time in St. Martin. Well, his wife is originally from Canada.
Mm-hmm.
Literally, they decide to move back to Canada the year after I got accepted to Trent. Call it the mystery of God.
Divine intervention.
Divine intervention. And so they would do very, you know, creative things, like gifting me for Christmas a winter jacket and, you know, a pair of boots. And so they
fell in love with you.
They supported me so much. And it was very awkward because here I am, a stranger. And why? You know? But we share something very special. Like, I could never repay them for the love and support that they have shown me and continue to show me even to this day. So a huge part of the reason why I was able to survive those first three years in Canada was because of them. So I would spend Christmases with them because sometimes the dorms close over the holidays and I was not able to.
Were they Caucasian or black?
Yeah, Caucasian. Okay. Yeah, they were a Caucasian couple. And so they basically took me in. They took me in, helped me get through, my 3 years at Trent. I worked during the summer so I could support myself then. And I also worked part-time during the school year as well. It's funny when I think back on how much I survived on back in those days. But I think when you have that drive in you, you don't even have time to think about your surroundings because you know that where you are is not where you're going to end up. And I think that's what kept me going.
Are the names Chuck and Sue?
Chuck and Sue.
Chuck and Sue.
Yes.
Carleen just
yes.
She said they're angels.
Yes, they really are. Suzanne and Chuck Armitage. Yeah.
Yeah. And you're still in contact with them?
Oh, for sure. I'm going to see them in August for 2 weeks.
Oh,
yeah.
That's so nice.
Yeah, they're my family.
Yes.
Yeah.
And so are you done with schooling?
I am. Right?
So the PhD is where the doctor comes from, as you explained earlier on in the program.
Senior Piebobo, don't come to me. Mata Jerry Bobo.
Okay, mene yo po a lot doctor.
Exactly. So my doctorate is a doctor, like I said, it's a doctor of philosophy in psychology. And so basically spent 4 years reading lots of academic papers, doing lots of research projects, taking lots of statistics and psychology courses, and at the end of that you get to basically defend and present an original piece of research, and you're awarded a doctorate.
All right.
Yeah.
Now you seem to have some focus on sleep.
Yeah.
So we're going to take a break.
Okay.
And when we come back, we're going to talk about that.
Sounds
because
good.
I'm quite interested in that as well. It is 26 minutes past the 9 o'clock hour. I know the time is flying, but keep it locked. We're coming right back.
Rudolph Thomas Enterprise in Portsmouth, your suppliers of building materials and hardware products. Over 20 years experience in the business. Rudolph Thomas has lumber and plywood, Portland and tile cement, steel rods, galvanized and fence pipe. And Rudolph Thomas can meet all your wire needs. Galvanized roofing sheets, doors, windows, toilet sets, face basins and bidets. PVC piping, fittings and lattice. Check out Rudolph Thomas for ceramic and vinyl floor and wall tiles, nails, nuts and bolts, paint and painting supplies. And check out their line of electrical and hand tools. And Rudolph Thomas is your one-stop shop for hard-to-find items like fiberglass mat and fiberglass resin and welding rods. Go now to Rudolph Thomas on 1240 Bay Street in Portsmouth.
My phone is my everything. It's where I make plans.
New at 7.
It makes me laugh.
When Africans go to the bank, I would like to say hi to my money and leave.
Lets me share my happiest moments and hear a comforting voice when I need it most.
It'll be all right.
It's like a best friend. That's why I get everything out of my phone with a Flow prepaid combo plan.
Save up to 95% on data, talk, and text in one simple plan. The bigger you go, the bigger you save on the fastest and most reliable 4G network. Dial *129# now to activate our 7-day large combo plan and get 1,000 megs of data, 1,000 minutes, and 1,000 texts for just $29.99 with Flow.
Rudolph Thomas Enterprise in Portsmouth, your suppliers of building materials and hardware products. Over 20 years experience in the business. Rudolph Thomas has lumber and plywood, Portland and tile cement, steel rods, galvanized and fence pipe. And Rudolph Thomas can meet all your wire needs. Galvanized roofing sheets, doors, windows, toilet sets, face basins and bidets. PVC piping, fittings, and lattice. Check out Rudolph Thomas for ceramic and vinyl floor and wall tiles, nails, nuts and bolts, paint and painting supplies. And check out their line of electrical and hand tools. And Rudolph Thomas is your one-stop shop for hard-to-find items like fiberglass mat and fiberglass resin and welding rods. Go now to Rudolph Thomas on 1240 Bay Street in Portsmouth.
Want to win $1,000 cash by July 1st? Top up $25 or more from now at any Flow location until June 30th and you could win $1,000 cash. Yes, $1,000 cash. Yes, you could win $1,000 cash by simply topping up your Flow phone anywhere Flow top up is sold. Top up now and you could win $1,000 cash. Flow terms and conditions apply.
Raise a cheer for the company that believes in you, securing your future. First Domestic Insurance Company, a 100% Dominican-owned company, as local as the street where you live. 100% secure, with A-listed reinsurers, the best in the world, settling claims first, fast, fair. Property insurance, personal content, fire and allied perils, loss of profit, public liability, employer's liability, group and individual personal accident, travel, burglary, cash in transit, machinery or risk, fidelity guarantee, motor vehicles and marine cargo. Located on King George Pep Street in Roseau. Call 449-8202. In Portsmouth, 445-3494. The agency's resource management, 440-2159. Carib Interconnect, 445-8232. First Domestic Insurance Company. Come get a premium quote today.
Nine 30 is the time in our studios, and before we get back to Dr. Tavernier or Professor Tavernier, we'll take some calls for her. I always prefer taking calls about now so people don't get too comfortable in the bed and a little lazy with the phone. So if you would like to call and just share a quick word with Professor Tavernier, you can do so, 449-3095, 449-3096, 449-3097. The overseas line is 1-305-432-9624. And for those of you who are viewing via Facebook Live, remember it's sometimes difficult for you to be able to hear us because we must keep the mics open so she can respond to the callers. Good evening.
Blessings to you, Empress.
What's Hello, up? Good night.
All right, thanks again.
My guest last week.
Yes, let me thank Miss Tavernier and blessings to you, Empress. Good night.
Yes, give her a second. She's just putting on the headphones. Yes.
I said blessings to you and good night.
Thank you. Good night.
Okay, blessings. Thank you. I want to congratulate you for the whole survival skills. And you know, wish you all the best in your endeavors. You know, I mean, you're so jovial there, and I think that alone will take you through the tallest mountain and through rocks and walls. I think you'll just walk through them with a smile. Continue laughing, continue smiling. I'm not that kind of a person. Sometimes I wish I was. But let me congratulate you, Empress, and just do what you have to do and all the best in your endeavors. God bless. I'm there listening. Blessings.
Yes, my dear.
Thank you so much.
All right. It was a pleasure having you last week, too, as my guest on the program. All right, he's gone. 449-3095, 449-3096, 449-3097. If you would like to touch base with us from outside of Dominica, you can do so. 1-305-432-9624. Again, that's 305-432-9624. Good night.
Hello, good evening. I would like to take this opportunity to congratulate Ms. Tavernier. Actually, I'm Leanne Packett from Granby, and I said, believe in education, and I'm really proud to have somebody from my community who excelled that much and went through so much courage to achieve. presently I'm doing my master's online, and she gave me a lot of courage to go towards my PhD after. So congratulations and all the best.
Good for you. Thank you so much, and keep striving.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you so much, Leanfia, and thank you for touching base with us on the program as well. I know a lot of persons are commenting via the Facebook Live. We kind of go through them. So thank you for your contributions through that medium. But we're just trying to deal with the telephones now. Good night.
Let me say thanks. I heard gave a speech, a motivational speech. That was it, my dear?
Yes.
Somewhere at the Pierre Charles
Secondary School on Friday at the graduation, yes.
My God. My dear, I give thanks. I will not repeat a particular thing that caught my ear.
Oh, my.
Oh, boy.
But trust me, it was good. And congratulations on that again.
But thank you.
All right. Thank you so much. And she is, in fact, going to spend some time sharing with us what she, in fact, shared with the graduating class at the graduation ceremony on Friday. But before that, before we get into that, and as the calls keep coming in, we'll continue talking. We need to speak about her academic research, which focuses on understanding the factors that explain and or influence the association between sleep and various aspects of psychosocial functioning. For example, academic achievement, quality of interpersonal relationships with peers, depressive symptoms, anxiety, and psychological stress. And her research has in fact been published in top-tier academic journals in her field, example, developmental psychology and sleep health. Help us understand what all of this is saying.
Yeah, so as a professor, as an academic, one part of my job is obviously to teach university level courses. So I teach a course in adolescent development and emerging adulthood, where we talk about all the different aspects of how individuals transition from childhood to adolescence. I also teach a course on research methods, but another part of my job is to conduct research.
Mm-hmm.
So by that I mean I read a lot of academic papers. I figure out where there are gaps in our knowledge about different topics. So my specific topic of interest as a researcher is sleep, and as you said, psychosocial adjustment, which just means how sleep affects how we function, but also how our day-to-day functioning affects our sleep. Sleep is not something that I think we give a lot of thought to on a day-to-day basis unless we tend to have an issue. until we tend to have an issue with sleep, but sleep is so important for so many different things. And I'm specifically interested in understanding how sleep relates to how we function in our day-to-day lives during the adolescent age period. So during the teenage years and during the early adulthood years.
Okay, so my time passed.
Not necessarily. Some things that we know about sleep applies to sleep across development, but we see that from a biological perspective, there are specific changes that take place in the body that affects our sleep-wake patterns. So parents of teenagers might notice that their adolescent kids are maybe up late at night, and then they can't wake up in the morning. They're not entirely to blame, because we see that they're different. There are changes in the patterns of hormones that regulate sleep. So basically there's one hormone called melatonin, and this hormone basically sends a signal to the brain that it's time to go to bed. And we see that that hormone comes on board a little bit later as individuals transition from childhood to adolescence. So if your teenage boy or girl can't go to bed, it's probably not entirely their fault. Their body biologically is just not ready for sleep.
Mm-hmm.
And so we see that there are, you know, other similar changes that take place specifically during those adolescent years. And so that's why I'm specifically interested in understanding sleep during this age period. Sleep is very, very closely tied to emotional and psychological well-being. In fact, one of the symptoms of depression is inability to sleep. So either
you are not able to fall asleep, or you spend all day in bed. Sleep is also related to anxiety. So individuals who experience high levels of anxiety, they're always anxious, they're always worried about stuff, they can't go to bed because we have some guilty people in the studio. And that affects your cognitive and your physical arousal because your brain is racing you can get to sleep, you know, when that happens. So I'm interested in understanding why, right? Mm-hmm. Why do some people have trouble sleeping?
Here's something you have to try to figure out why. Why is it that, you know, those of us who probably overthink things, why is it that we actually think so much that sometimes we try to remember that thing we're supposed to be thinking about?
Right.
That's strange.
Yes.
You know, it's like, In the back of your mind, you're thinking, you know, you're already thinking about so many things, but then you say, to me, there was something, you know,
else.
To me, there was something
that I should be worried about. Yeah. Yes, so that's unfortunate because it really does affect your ability to initiate sleep. One strategy that those who work in applied work in relation to sleep, one strategy that they use is called cognitive behavioral therapy, because it relates to both how you think as well as your behavior. And so one thing that's suggested if you have trouble sleeping is to keep a notepad and pen next to your bed, and to write down your thoughts. So write down the things that you were worried about, and that way it's almost like, okay, I know my worries are there, so I don't need to keep it up here. That's one strategy. Another strategy is, if you're having trouble sleeping, get out of bed. It might sound counterintuitive, but what happens is your brain begins to program that anxious feeling with being in bed. And so even on the days when you are not really worried, your brain is saying, you're in bed, you should be worried because that's what you do. And so one strategy is to get out of bed, try to reduce your exposure to light, because the hormone that I talked about before, melatonin, light affects that hormone. And so those cell phones should not be in bed with you.
Oh boy.
They should be turned off and ideally placed in a different room. I mean, I'm guilty of that sometimes, so I'm not pointing fingers here. Anything that's going to cause you to become aroused is detrimental to sleep. And so you want your bed to be a place only for sleeping. And if you're an adult and sexual activity, that's fine too. Mm-hmm. But anything else, so working on your laptop is a no-no. Checking your cell phones, that's a no-no. Because again, you're programming your brain to be cognitively aroused when you're in bed.
Oh my goodness. I mean, so as far as last night, the laptop was right there next to me.
On the bed. No.
Oh my goodness, this is good information. This is good information.
Yeah, so another aspect of my work is to actually publish my sleep findings in academic journals so that other researchers could have access to that information. So it's a very dynamic process of producing research, because you're never, although you're producing an original piece of work, it's never solely your idea.
Right.
I'm building on what others have done before.
Right.
And I'm also imparting, you know, some of my findings to the field as well. We spoke about friendships. One of my published studies looked at the role that friends play in relation to our sleep.
Mm.
And findings from that study indicated that friends are actually beneficial to sleep. And the reason why is because they serve as a source of emotional regulation. So if you have a group of friends or a friend that you feel like you can confide in, that you feel like you can be yourself around, that has shown to reduce your level of anxiety, and in turn, facilitates your ability to have a good night's sleep.
So these are among some of your key findings, and so the person who is listening now and wondering, where can I find your work? You know, where can I find your work to read, to get knowledge and information on what you've discovered, through your research?
Yeah.
Where can we find your work?
So unfortunately, the academic world is almost like a bubble.
I see.
Universities subscribe to academic journals, and if your university has access to that specific journal, which costs money, then your students or members of your institution, students, faculty members, staff, will have access, usually through the university's library. And so it's not something that is, available for, that's, you know, like easily available for purchase. It's usually through academic institutions.
So then my next question would be then, do you have any intentions or any plans of publishing any body of work around your subject area?
Definitely. I'm not sure what the situation with the Dominica State College is, but I would imagine that they would have subscriptions to some academic journals, and that students would have access to those published studies. So Google Scholar is a good place to start. If you go to scholar.google.com, you type in my name, my last name, or you type in the name of any sort of researcher you want to find out. Some journals actually have open access, meaning that wherever you are in the world, you can access those journals, but often there is a fee. In saying that, if anyone is specifically interested in anything that I've published, I can certainly make an electronic copy available to anyone who's interested.
I would certainly be interested in seeing some of the things that Ivo actually found out.
Yeah.
Somebody has been calling us on the overseas line for the longest while. Let's see if we can take this call. Good night.
Hello, good evening, Fadine.
Hello.
Oh. Hey, sis.
Hey, sis.
You know that I had to call to big up my little sister. She's talking about me being an inspiration and all that, but she I tell her all the time, girl, you're my inspiration. She's seriously one of the best persons I've ever met in my life. And I remember meeting her when she was actually 5 years old, and I just was like, oh, this little girl, come over and play. And I don't think I want you to go back, You just stay with me. And from even at that tender age, I could see, that I could see the potential in her. And I'm so proud and I'm so privileged and honored to have her in my life. She's an amazing person inside and out. And tonight we're listening. My mom is here, my husband is here, and we're like so proud and so happy and, wishing you all the best. And, we're very proud of you, and keep it up. And I'm tough on her sometimes, and I know she puts all my business outside tonight. But everybody's WhatsApping me.
Careful, I don't WhatsApp with you tomorrow. Yeah, it's okay.
I know. But yes, keep on doing what you're doing. You're an inspiration to us all, old and young, and, very proud of you as a Shangwabe, and, very proud. So we're enjoying the program, and looking forward to hear even more of what you have to share.
Thank you so much, sis. You know how much I love and appreciate you.
Love you,
figure. Oh, that was really nice. She, in spite of her accusing you of putting out all the business, she made the effort to call. Thank you for calling, Carleen, and thank you for listening and tuning into the program as well. I hope that every time I get a new group of listeners because of a particular guest, that they make the effort to return. So if tonight is the first time that you're listening, you should always try to listen, because we always have some amazing people on the In the Spotlight radio show that you should make the effort to listen to. But I also want to say, before we get into the other aspect of the conversation that we're going to have, is that if you are coming to Dominica at some point in time and you feel that you would like to share your story, or someone is coming who you think their story is worthy of hearing hearing on the program, you know, feel free. I'm easy to find. I am always on I'm always online for whatever reason on Facebook. Sometimes I'm saying, how do I take myself online? You know? But I always appear to be online, and I always say to people, not because I'm appearing online that it means I'm online, you know. You know, send me a message. Send me an email. The In the Spotlight Radio Show has its own email address, inthespotlight.da@gmail.com. You know, feel free. Everybody has a story, and I'm open, you know, to giving everyone the opportunity to hear their story and to share their story on the program. Time is creeping up on us. So we're going to talk about the featured speech at the Pierre Charles Secondary School's graduation on Friday. First of all, who contacted you and said you need to come and do this?
So actually, the graduation committee had contacted me a couple years ago, but at that point, I was finishing up my studies and was in transition, so the timing wasn't right. And so I was contacted again this year, and because I was already planning to take my vacation around that time, I decided to accept the offer. And I feel like I couldn't say no anymore, because you know, I talked about how much PCSS and my experiences throughout high school meant and still means to me. And so I was just really honored to have the opportunity to address the graduating class.
I just want to say to you that I just happened to scroll through my phone there quickly while for a second there, and I saw that Joanne sent a message, which means that she's listening.
So I
mean, it's good to know that she's listening, and I hope Val is listening as well. Good night, Val. You know, you're a gem to me as well. So, you know, these are good people for sure, and I've proven that even more tonight with what you had to say about them, because without that help from them, that first step would never have taken place to where you are.
That's where it all started. Bless your hearts.
Yes. So let's talk about what it is you said in this particular message that you delivered under the theme Setting Goals to Inspire and Encourage.
Yes. So the theme was chosen by the graduation committee, and so I decided to model, you know, my speech around that theme. I thought it was a very fitting theme. And so basically what I did was try to think about my experiences and try to channel it into three life lessons that I thought, not just the students graduating, but the parents, the teachers, everyone attending, I wanted to have something for everyone in that speech. So specifically the three lessons that I talked about, the first one was, you know, just encouraging, you know, everyone to find their purpose in life. I feel like that it's so important to have that internal drive, because sometimes, you know, you might be put in a situation where there are opportunities available, but you might not be in tune with your own self. And so you might actually miss out on those opportunities. So I think it's very important to maybe not even know exactly what it is that you want to do, but to know that you're working towards something. Because, you know, interests change. For me, I was lucky that when my sister said, you should do psychology, that's what I did. Even though I did switch from pursuing a career in counseling to one in academia. But I always knew that I wanted to do psychology. It might not be the same for everyone else. You might try one thing and it might not work. You might not connect with it. And so you have to just keep going. But you need to set goals that are based on having a specific purpose.
And I just want to just read a couple excerpts from it. And you ask, so how do you find your purpose in life? You may have been encouraged by your teachers or parents to pursue a specific career, aim to become a teacher, doctor, or lawyer. And while it is important to set goals for what you would like to become, you said to them, I want you to reflect on these words from former US President Barack Obama. And he said, and you quoted, worry less about what you want to be and worry more about what you want to do. If you spend your time invested in becoming one specific thing, you run the risk of limiting your true potential, and you may be setting up yourself for disappointment if you don't become that one thing. And that is so true. But then you say further, if you spend your time invested in doing, then you open up a world of possibilities for yourself and you begin to learn that there may be many different roads that can lead you to a successful and satisfying life. And just on the other page, you know, not reading everything, but hear me when I say that regardless of the self-doubt and the negativity of others, each and every one of you already has something special within you that is just waiting to be multiplied into something that is bigger than yourself. I had to read a little something from that.
Yes. So, you know, like I said, sometimes we're focused on the end goal. You know, you should be a teacher, you should be a doctor, you should be a lawyer. Those are things that even I myself heard growing up. No one said you should be a professor.
Mm-hmm.
And so if I was just focused on being one thing, I wouldn't be open to the different possibilities. And even within the field of psychology, there's so much that I could have done. I could have done counseling. There are many different things that I could have done within that one field. And so one thing that I've learned also across my experience, you know, over the years, you have to remain flexible. I have applied to certain, you know, programs, schools, scholarships, and have not gotten through.
Mm-hmm.
And so if I was hell-bent on this one thing, then I would feel defeated.
Yes.
But I knew that I had a bigger purpose, and I knew that, you know, when one door closes, another one opens. I know it sounds cliche, but I strongly believe in that saying. And so I think it's important to young people to realize that there's so many career paths that you don't even know about, and so you have to remain flexible. You have to be open.
And
the second lesson was use your adversity to inspire your purpose in life. So, you know, like you keep saying, Ferdinand, we all have a story.
Mm-hmm.
And we've all gone through tough times. For me, it was losing my mom, you know, being raised poor, not having a lot of things that I felt like, you know, like I should have had. But that didn't stop me. That actually inspired me, because I knew that I wanted to create a life that was different in some ways from what I had grown up with. And so, you know, I remember people asking me, well, are you going to stay in Dominica and take care of your siblings, you know, after my mom passed? And I just kept, you know, I felt my mom saying, no, like, you need to go out there and achieve your dreams and live your life in a way that you can serve as a model to your siblings. And so that's the path that I, you know, that I took. And so instead of, you know, letting that experience, you know, cripple me, I continue to use it as my motivation. And I made reference to a couple of, you know, other individuals. I talked about Rihanna Patterson and her, you know, initiative in the field of, you know, studying dementia, and Jerrell Joseph, you know, who launched the Carrie Scholar Program. So, you know, I encourage the graduates to look around. My story, you know, I don't think is, you know, it's personal, it's mine, but it's not unique. There are tons of young people out there working hard, making sacrifices, and I think the young people need to know that.
Mm-hmm. And
the last lesson, mm-hmm, was we need to encourage each other.
Oh,
I talked
boy.
About the importance of community. I talked about the importance of being respectful of people's personal and private lives. I know that technology makes it difficult. I talked about the attention-seeking culture, which I can't imagine growing up now in this day and age, because it's almost like you don't get to make a mistake without having that mistake define you.
Mm-hmm.
And that's really, really unfortunate. Because making mistakes is actually a healthy part. It's actually a healthy part of growing up. And so I wanted to encourage not just the graduates, but everyone to play their part, because I know the importance of community. And the same way that having a supportive community can really build you up, it's the same way that having a negative community can literally tear you down. And so I really wanted to talk to that point.
All right, Dr. Tavernier, in the end, I think maybe every student left inspired after you were done with your speech, I hope.
I hope so.
Even those who are listening tonight who were not there for the speech are also inspired as well. As we're getting ready to wrap up the program, I hope there was nothing pertinent that we left out. I'm going to give you the opportunity to wrap up and to leave some, you know, some words of encouragement, of inspiration. You've done quite a bit already for the night, especially for the young people who are listening to the program tonight.
Yeah, so I already talked about, you know, the importance of community, the importance of family. I also should mention my wonderful grandparents, Eileen and Maclean John Rose. They played a big part in, you know, my childhood. I remember going to them, you know, for my, you know, my wash plantains. Mm-hmm. I have a love of plantains. And so I have fond memories of visiting my grandparents on Sunday afternoons. And so I just really want to encourage young people to take, you know, you at some point you need to take a time out. Mm-hmm. You need to take a time out for yourself. You need to listen to your friends. You need to listen to your parents. But you also need to take initiative. You need to know what brings you joy. You need to know what brings you peace. You need to know who is a positive influence in your life. And you need to be able to recognize the negatives and to get rid of those negative people, places, things. Because at the end of the day, I think we all want to be happy. We all want to live successful and satisfying lives. And it might be very different from one person to the next. But if you have a strong sense of self, if you have a strong sense of self-worth, which I think is so important, and it's unfortunate that, you know, we have a lot of broken, so to speak, families. But look at me, you know. I didn't come from, you know, the perfect nuclear family, but look at the family that I've created for myself. Adopted parents in Canada, an adopted sister who I would do anything for and I know would do anything for me. And so the word family, I think we need to, you know, redefine for ourselves. We say blood is thicker than water, yes, but you need to surround yourself with people who love, support, and encourage you. And you also need to be that for other people too.
All right. Dr. Professor Roy Tavernier, I really want to thank you for being here tonight on the In the Spotlight radio show. It was indeed a pleasure having you. And I just see my brother Bernard, you know, Dr. Tavini, thanks for being a positive example. Smart, cute, and humble. Yeah. You can be that. Thank you for that, Bernard.
Thank you.
As we're getting ready to wrap up, my battery is just about dead, so I have to wrap up the Facebook Live now, because I want to make sure that it is, in fact, posted. Yes. So, again, you know, we just making sure that we get things going. Oh, I'm sorry. Post. There we go. Yes. So it is 10 o'clock. And I know, Bernard, you're going to be proud of the time tonight. That's a wrap on the In the Spotlight radio show for tonight. Again, thank you to Dr. Roy Tavernier for being here and for joining us on the program. God willing, we will be back here next week, Monday, at the same time. Well, we've started a little late tonight through no fault of ours, but we will be back here next week, Monday as well. Thanks to all those who contributed to the program. You have Flo, Rudolph Thomas, NCCU, First Domestic Insurance, Innovate Multimedia, Kadisha, good night to you. Also to Josephine Gabriel and Company Limited. We have the Garraway Hotel, Dominica News Online, and all those who support our efforts. Until next time, God bless and good night.
The Spotlight on Q95 FM Radio every Monday night from 8 p.m.
Thank you for listening to In the Spotlight. We would love to hear from you. If you have suggestions of guests or topics and issues you would like featured on In the Spotlight, let us know. We would also welcome your feedback. Please send us an email at inthespotlight.da at @gmail.com or contact us at 275-7565. In the Spotlight is aired on Q95 FM Radio every Monday night from 8 p.m. with your host, Fadina Frampton. Until next time, good night and God bless.